This is Tasting Room Radio, and we proudly let you know that this edition of Tasting Room Radio is presented by Harbor Air, a quintessential West Coast experience, safe, fast, and fun connections throughout coastal BC. It's great fun. Trust me, I'm on board lots of times. Harbor Air, a virtual translink to the coast. You can find them at harborair.com. Hello, I'm Terry David Mulligan, and welcome to Tasting Room Radio, year 17. We started in a studio, in a barn, on the Naramata Bench. We end up, 17 years later, in a studio, in a former barn in Mill Bay. It's a thing. Studios go in barns. Now, top drop, Curtis Colt's very successful annual pour at the Roundhouse in Yaletown. Is always look forward to. Everybody that shows up is somebody I see during the year, and they all show up at the same time for this event, Top Drop. And what they do is, and what they have always said is, we're after sustainability, organic, quality. They can be big wineries, they can be small wineries, but we are going to support the growing methods, how they take care of the land and the grapes and the people around them, and then the wines. How are the wines? And so they have been vetted, these wines and these cider makers, and their spirit makers as well. They want to be showcased, and that's what Top Drop is all about. So if I can read my own notes, Jay Drysdale from Bella, Daryl Brooker and Matt Dumain from Okanagan Crush Pad Freeform, Christoph Hedges from Hedges on Red Mountain in Washington State, Jordan Kubek from Lightning Rock, Shane Munn from Martin's Lane, John and Virginia Weber from Orofino. I think, actually, if I remember correctly, we talked to Ursa Major, Terra Vista, Owen Knowlton, a couple of others. So, I can't remember, but we're going to go ahead and do it anyway. Do enjoy. We're going to the Cowichan Valley, then a two-part special on the Vancouver Wine Festival. All right, we start this edition of Tasting Room Radio with Creek and Gully, the cidery on the Naramata Bench. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Vineyards. Their tasting room is now open, and the first club shipments of the year are going out. A heads up on the Heist Rosé, 90% Syrah, 5% Nebbiolo, and 5% Malbec. And watch for Eclipse, their 2020 traditional method Roussanne Marsanne. Mooncursor, the 2019 best performing small winery in Canada. Details at mooncursor.com. Okay, I have come to the first table. It's actually physically set up and ready to go, and they have their own chalkboard. Which is very impressive. This is Top Drop 2022. Creek and Gully Cider. Naramata Bench. Alyssa Hubert is the cider maker. And Annalise Simonson is the director and operations manager. And who did the chalkboard?
That was Alyssa. If I had done it, it would be illegible.
Can we just go down for a second just to see what you're pouring? Creek and Gully. Traditional method. Ancestral. Pet Nat method. And canned conditioned ciders. Starting with Flora, which I was very impressed with because it's a field blend.
Yeah, it is. The way that we operate means that we are getting different apples from our farming family all the time because we actually just take the C-grade or the blemished apples from the farm. So Flora is a representation of what happens in any given year based off of that initial idea.
How many different orchards went into Florida?
So the Simonsons have 18 different varietals of eating apples, and in any given year, I could be making Flora out of all of them from the three plots in Naramata and one plot in Summerland that we have. And so this year, for 2021, this is actually built out of 9 different apple varietals.
Okay, so now, as you well know, in the wine world, a field blend is grapes that come from the same field.
Correct.
Same slope, whatever. Maybe they even be planted side by each or involved in each other. Is that the same thing here?
It is not quite. So because we are both a farm and a cidery, and the impetus for the cidery is to take what we cannot sell as food on the farm, I do not know what apple varietals or what tonnage I get as a cider maker in any given year. Peter, Anna's dad, is going to give me what he cannot sell as food. And so I build all the ciders conceptually, and Flora is literally every single apple that doesn't fit conceptually into the other ciders. I build it over the course of the 4 months of harvest, and it can have all of them in there. Or
so when you get to the field blend, do you ad lib and tap dance? What do you do?
Absolutely. I've got a 6,000 liter tank, and our harvest starts in August, and it ends at the end of November. And over the course of 4 months, Flora just gets built based on what comes in, and it builds and builds and builds. And when it's done, hopefully it's something very fresh and very bright and very Canadian apple-y.
And who was Flora?
Flora is the Roman goddess of
of the blossom.
I thought maybe it was a daughter or something.
Aurora, Golden Delicious.
Yeah, so we call Aurora our community-based cider, and the idea behind it is really to just kind of visit our friends in the midst of harvest. We're all very, very busy. We work 13 to 17-hour days. So what we do is we go to a different one of our friends' wineries, each vintage. We ask for their grape skins once they're done pressing a red wine, and then we pour our Golden Delicious apples through it and do a bit of a hybrid cider.
A Rapasso.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And who was your wine friend this time?
So this year it is Lightning Rock.
Well, they're here.
They are here. So Lightning Rock over in Summerland, and this is their Syrah skins that I used this year. And so the Golden Delicious fermented on those Syrah skins for 10 days.
Did they like it?
They did. They went so well together. It tastes like candy.
No, but I mean, did they, Lightning Rock like it?
Oh, yeah, they love it. They're huge fans, huge buds.
I'm going to... Krabby Pear.
Yeah, so Krabby Pear is another one that kind of was born out of agricultural roots. Pears are very highly saleable fresh fruit, so we wouldn't traditionally have access to them within the cidery. But the first vintage that we got them because our pears had sunburn.
And hail damage, yes.
So we got the pears. Pears are quite basic in their pH, so they need that acidity of the crabapple in order to kind of actually ferment into the beautiful finished product.
This is Top Drop 2022. Creek and Gully Cider, Naramata Bench, Alyssa Hubert is the cider maker, and Annalise Simonson is the director and operations manager. Now, tell me about the Goldie.
Goldie has a nickname. We call it Goldie Oldie, and it's because it is our back vintage. So this actually takes almost 2 years from start to finish. Everything else that we produce is a 6 to 8 month bottle program. This one spends 8 months in neutral oak barrels, and then it spends a year sur lit.
And why are the bittered cider and cider saison starred both sides?
Just because they're little fun projects that we're giving away today and not tasting, but they are very different than everything else we do because, of course, the family farm does not grow citrus in Naramata. But I was curious about experimenting with citrus, and we had some extra base cider, and so we bought a bunch of organic Californian citrus this winter, and I did an citrus infusion. So we had pomelos, we had grapefruits, we had oranges, we had lemons. We took the rinds of all of those, and we sat them in our base cider for an entire month.
This show started in Naramata, in a barn, in a studio in a barn, and we were there for 5 years. And what I learned was the first thing to go in the process of creating wineries are orchards. Cut them down, rip them out, whatever.
Yeah.
How are we doing in terms of holding onto our orchards up there?
That is a great question, a very long question. Anne and I both have lots to say about
that. Yeah, so I am... on the board of directors of the BC Fruit Growers Association. So this is obviously a topic that we discuss often. Farming tree fruits and apples specifically has become harder and harder. And part of the reason that we exist is because of that struggle and because of the way that, you know, our pricing has evolved in the Okanagan. And I just think that we can celebrate those apples. We have apple trees that were planted by my great-great-grandfather. They're up to 110 years old this year, so we can celebrate those orchards. We just need to find the space for it.
So but the question is, are we about to lose all of these orchards if it just keeps rolling out the way it is?
I mean, we're at the midst of a confluence of a lot of agricultural policies, land policies, and a lot of socio-ecological and economic changes.
How about if I pressed you and said yes or no? What do you think?
I think
you concerned?
We're very concerned.
Okay.
And I think losing farmland as a whole, whether or not it's orchards for cider or orchards for eating.
This is fantastic. Thank you so much.
Very lovely to talk to you.
Thank you. All right. Creek and Gully Cider, Naramata Bench. Alyssa Hubert is the cider maker, and Annalise Simonson is the director and operations manager, Creek and Gully.
This is Tasting Room Radio.
I'm looking at Fitzpatrick Wines. Fitz Cremant, Fitz Brut, Fitz Reserve, Blanc de Blanc, and standing behind it, of course, is the man responsible. Gordon Fitzpatrick, we met in the makers in Victoria. As I walked up to you, I said, are you pouring exactly what you poured in Victoria? But this is a different thing.
Yeah, no, the focus today is all on our sparkling, which is the specialty of the house. It fits. But we've got a couple of new offerings. We've got our extra lees aging Blanc de Blanc, 2015 vintage. So I pulled this out of our library, as well as we've got a little bit other extra lees aging on our Fitz Brut, again, 2015. So some good bubbles.
Do you think this is a bubble crowd? This is a bubble crowd, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. No, today is, this afternoon is trades and the Psalms, and it's always nice to refresh the palate, and so the bubbles always goes a long way.
There's also something to celebrate, because with bubble comes celebration.
It does. Our hashtag is why wait to celebrate, and it's kind of nice to be out doing this again. It's been a couple of years since we've been able to do these types of events.
Where will you be July 29th?
July 29th, we will be at Fitzpatrick Family Vineyards welcoming Jim Cuddy. We get to do our Crush Deck concert again, and again, something to celebrate.
I look forward to this, and congratulations. I'll come back for a pour.
Thanks very much, Terry.
This is Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
All right, here come the wine police. Jay Drysdale. Jay, we need more Gamay Drysdale. And Wendy Rose are here as a 1-2 punch for Bella. Okanagan Valley. Did you bring what you wanted people to be aware of or what you thought the room would be interested in?
Yeah, a bit of both. Like, for me, this is the one trade event that I'm trying to get in front of the trade. I mean, I like to think I make wine for industry and hope consumers like it. So, you know, I think it's just... Yeah, I brought a lot of wines that are already sold out, but I just want these guys to at least experience. This is the first time three different clones of Gamay have ever been poured together in North America, so I just want them to be able to experience some of the crazy stuff I'm doing. So
I said in my hard-hitting, incisive interview with Curtis Colt, the all-seeing, all-knowing, that you are the one person in this room, I know there's several, but you are the absolutely guaranteed the one person to have a bottle of something underneath the table because you're always pouring something new and you want us to know about it and then get a reaction.
100%. Like, this is the very first year I've worked with Pinot Noir, and, you know, Pinot Noir has kind of scared the crap out of me just being such a fussy grape and high maintenance and everything. So I'm glad I learned to dance with Gamay, and I'm excited that I'm looking at a little bit more Pinot in our future, just because fruit is getting so hard to get in the Okanagan.
How did you change your thinking going from Gamay to Pinot Noir?
It was like putting on the white velvet gloves and just being absolutely as gentle and caring as I could, and make sure just to not overwork it, over anything to it, because I know it bruises so easy. It's just it's a very fussy grape.
So. How did you do? How'd you do?
I think it's okay.
Did you internalize? Did you reimagine yourself?
A little bit, but it was, and I'm excited moving forward because this site has four different clones of Gamay, so I'm going to be able to geek out and you know, enjoy that aspect of understanding Pinot a lot better, but right now it's wearing, you know, different gloves with these guys, and yeah.
Take me right to left. What's in the bucket?
So we got the Mariani Vineyard, which has two clones of Gamay. So we brought both of those and the first clone of 358 in Canada. The only other one I know of is down in Brickhouse down in Oregon. And they work with that. So I've got three different clones of Gamay. Then I got our Pinot, which is actually a private label for Dashi Restaurant. We call it Bubble Dogs. So we put a bunch of all our dogs on the label, and it's just been a huge hit. And then, again, playing outside the box, I got a little bit of Gewürztraminer and didn't know what to do with it, so I co-fermented it with Gamay, and Gamay makes everything better. And
you called it?
Gourmet.
Gourmet.
And, yeah, so it's just it's super fun, and it's not what I expected. It went very savory with a beautiful long floral finish. And then lastly, I have a little reserve bubbles that's been in 5.5 years on lees and hoping to give Champagne a little toe-to-toe with it, so yeah.
So this is spring. What will these buckets look like, say, fall of 2020?
These buckets are already half gone, so by fall we'll probably be sold out of everything again. So yeah, it's just I know. We're excited with the movement, and it's kind of catching me off guard, but I really can't keep wines in stock right now, and we haven't even opened the taste room yet. So,
how can you fix that?
I'm trying to get more fruit, but it's. I think if you ask almost any BC producer, you know, it's a struggle right now, and you know, our industry is booming, and it's a good thing, and you know, we're all solidifying down and hunkering in and trying to make the most of what we got. And
thank you. Say hello to Wendy, will you, when you see her?
I will.
Jay Drysdale, talking Bella, including Bubble Dogs. This is Top Drop 2022.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Vineyards. Their tasting room is now open, and the first club shipments of the year are going out. A heads up on the Heist Rosé, 90% Syrah, 5% Nebbiolo, and 5% Malbec. And watch for Eclipse, their 2020 traditional method Roussanne-Marsan. Mooncursor, the 2019 best-performing small winery in Canada. Details at mooncursor.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Jason Parks Customs, the home of The Hatch, Crown and Thieves. Speaking of Crown and Thieves, Crown and Thieves 2021 Winemaker's Wench on the nose, apricots, oranges, and honey, followed by a taste of ripe peach and melon. 2021 Winemaker's Wench. I just got this note from the Artful Dodger, Devil and Barker, at The Hatch. We're doing a countdown in May to release 4 new wines at The Hatch each Friday. And a reminder that The Hatching Post Saloon and Smokery is now open. All the details at jasonparkscustoms.com and crownandthieves.com. Let's start out this segment with the new CEO of Okanagan Crush Pad, Daryl Brooker, and the winemaker, Matt Demain.
Top Drop 2022. And we're at the Roundhouse in Yale Town. All right, I was just saying to the both of you that there was two press releases came out today.
Yes, the two press releases? Yeah, yeah. So International Wineries for Climate Action. So we just joined, which we're pretty excited about. Yeah.
Is it a group that wants to make trouble?
No, not at all. No, it's a group that, you know, they're focused on... So there's organic, and we're certified organic, but IWCA is really about lowering your greenhouse gas emissions. And and so it's continuous improvement to try to achieve net zero by 2050. So,
where are we in BC?
We've got a lot of work to do.
Are we in adherence?
No. So we've got a lot of work to do, and that's why we joined, because... We need to draw a line in the sand, commit, and make sure that growing organically is important for the piece of land and for the region, but we also need to think about the world and what's right for the world as well.
Yeah. Thank you, Daryl. Thank you. I believe the other press release was about his wines.
Yeah, I'm sure.
What are you pouring today?
A range of wines. This is all freeform. So this is all predominantly from Garnet Valley Ranch. And this is our wine that's made with minimal intervention, very, very low intervention. I'm not going to call them a natural wine, but they're made in a very authentic, low intervention way. But Matt can tell you more about freeform.
Yes. Tell us about your wines. I saw you fondling them.
Yeah, so we got freeform wines today. Got a delicious selection. We're pouring our 17 Blanc de Noir, 100% Pinot Noir. Majority of the wines poured today are from our high elevation Garnet Valley Ranch, which is coming along beautifully, planting more and more.
Tell me about the conversation that you have when you introduce a new label. Do you want to tie it back to OCP, to Haywire? Do you want people to know it's coming from those same people?
Definitely. I think the wines are, you know, inherently OCP. They've got just our hallmark texture and finesse to them. They've got Christine's fantastic design and marketing all over the label. So our new freeform label has it's made of stone paper, so there's no trees used in the production.
I saw that, yeah.
It's anything we can do to help the land and the planet.
And again, what are these wines? Is there a Gris there?
We have a 2017 Blanc de Noir, 2019 Riesling, 29 Vingris, which is 100% Pinot Noir, 2018 Rosé, Cabernet Franc. We have our Skin Contact 2018 Sauvignon Blanc. It spends 9 months on skins and a bit of a combination of amphora, stainless steel. And then we have our 2017 Cabernet Franc.
Nice. Is that right there?
Everything's grown and made organically, certified.
And different.
Very different. It's a true reflection of the site where it came from, right?
So, congratulations on this.
Awesome, thank you. Good to see you.
The new CEO of Okanagan Crush Pad, Daryl Brooker, and the winemaker, Matt Demain.
Top Drop 2022 at the Roundhouse in Yaletown. Holy spit, I've been looking for the Webbers ever since I walked in, and I couldn't find them, and now it's getting louder, and people are... I haven't seen any fistfights yet, but it's the trade for. Welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be in the city.
You're out of the house now.
Yeah, nice to be in the city and off the farm.
Around people. Yeah. It's different.
Yeah. Ate some good food last night. It's great.
And the guest houses are open?
They are, yes. We're actually quite booked up for the season. And we're about to open another home, a guest house, a three-bedroom home for vacation rental as well.
Where is it on the property?
Right beside the winery. Free tastings.
That's great. It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. What did you bring to pour?
So we've got our two Rieslings, 2020 Hensby Clone 239 and 2020 Hensby Vineyard Clone 21B. Brand new Bozza Vineyard Cap Franc Rosé, which you need to try, Terry. And then the brand new orange Muscat, Skin Contact Muscat, 2021. And the 2020 Syrah that we just released as well. So some new wines. It's a new season. It's good.
Which one are you most proud of?
Most proud of? Rieslings.
Yeah.
Riesling. Soft spot for Rieslings, always.
You guys put out some sort of notice or a press release saying, if you're going to get these two clones, you have to pair them side by each. And there was a lot of pressure on the consumer. I'm sitting there with Meg going, well, this one tastes a little...
Yeah. Well, it's... I mean, we do three Rieslings. They are all quite different. And you can either geek out on them and taste them side by side by side, or on their own with the right food at the right place at the right time. It's pretty great.
I assume the tasting room's open.
It is. Currently from Friday to Monday, and maybe more days later on. We'll see.
And have we come back, the customer? Like, are you seeing more traffic?
Yeah, we opened 2 weeks ago, and people were waiting to come and visit. Absolutely. Yeah.
Did the wine club get you through?
Wine club's been fantastic. Yep, it's been great. Retail, our website, all that really was very good for our business. Restaurants had a hard time, so, just kind of that pivot, you know, that stupid word pivot that everybody's been using for 2 years now, was really actually really made a big difference. So focused on that. Really healthy club, growing, and good part of our business.
Remind me why I want to drink the rosé.
Because it's like full on Similkameen Valley fruit, and it's that like bright, fresh, very Cab Franc-y, you know, with a little bit of that herbaceous jalapeno note to it.
Salty,
and you just want to drink more. Like, it makes you want to drink more.
John Virginia Weber from the Similkameen Valley Orofino pouring here at Top Drop 22.
This is Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
He is the wonderful storyteller and wonderful winemaker, Shane Munn from Martin's Lane.
If you listen to Tasting Room Radio, it's been a couple of years since we did the Science of Wine at Science World, and Shane Munn was the first time I had met him, and we talked sitting down. He walked away in a blur. I couldn't remember the night when I was finished, and here we are, we've met again. And I have been telling the story of you and your wines for quite some time, and I actually said the wines are not under the radar, but you're a bit under, because you're a talker, you're a storyteller. You need to find a microphone. You need to do a podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like you have time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. I think it's the New Zealander in me. We tend to be a humble race.
Oh, come on.
And, the wines speak for themselves. They have the name of the vineyard and the place they're from on there, and that's the important thing, not my reputation.
What did you bring to pour? Why? Was it the room or this?
These are all new release wines, especially for the trade. So we've got two new Rieslings and two new Pinot Noirs, and then a new wine that is fun. It's called Julius. It's a co-fermentation of Riesling and Pinot Noir, sort of like a gateway to Pinot from Riesling. So
Jay Drysdale over at Bella has a Gamay.
Yes, just tried it. Delicious.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I've been thinking about the, you know, as producers sort of look around for other varietals to work with, that's a great idea. Tell me about that blend.
Yeah, well, I mean, as a winery that just focuses on two varieties, we don't really get the chance to experiment too much. You know, we're trying to reflect where they're from. And so this was our way of essentially not making a rosé, but making something that was a lighter red, but it's from 2021. So literally it only really passed through barrels very quickly. And we released it this week. And it's sort of supposed to be drunk on the patio, maybe as a slightly more serious version of a rosé, but a gateway towards our Pinots.
All right. You said you used the term a new Pinot.
Yes.
Is it a new release of Pinot or a new whole new clone of Pinot?
The Julius is actually a co-fermentation of Pinot Noir from one vineyard and Riesling from another. So it has to be captured on the same day because it's fermented all together, 100% whole bunch. So like when we do it next year, it may come from different vineyards. So not any particular clone that we're focused, but we picked the level of ripeness that we thought, because it's only 12.8% alcohol, but it's ripe and it has texture and vibrancy, and it really, unlike our other Pinot Noirs that are serious, more complex and have a subtle oak influence, this has no oak influence, and it puts the emphasis more on fruit and drinkability. So serve it chilled.
Tell us about the more serious and complex one.
Yeah, so we've brought two Pinots today, one from Symes Vineyard, one from the Naramata Vineyard, so essentially our coolest and our warmest vineyards. They really sort of show off, I think, kind of the hallmarks of great Okanagan Pinot. It's from a cool vintage, 2017. And so, you know, releasing these wines, especially to the trade, they're drinking, really starting to drink perfectly now.
What's under the table?
Just more wine. We bought like 24 bottles of each wine. You're supposed to bring 12.
No surprises.
Hopefully we're going to
be... No surprises under there?
Well, there's a few cans of beer and a bottle of champagne.
And what's the game? What's the match?
I was watching Liverpool playing Aston Villa. Been a Liverpool supporter since I was 6. And this is a must-win game for Liverpool. Won all at halftime. So just kind of watching it while the...
At home in Liverpool?
I spent a bit of time living it in Liverpool.
Are they playing in Liverpool?
They're playing in Birmingham. So so tough game, but it's keeping me motivated.
What's down here?
Just more cold wine. I mean, even our red wines we're serving slightly chilled today. It's a hot room, and I think serving temperature is vital to highlight the rooms, the wines really, really perfectly. So,
and Shane, is there a surprise coming? Have you got a surprise for us in the fall, spring?
I would say Julius is the main surprise for us. We actually, probably in the fall, the next surprise is the new release of the new vintages. We are releasing a new single block wine from our Naramata vineyard. Okay. And in barrel from 2021, we have two single block wines. So that's how our brand is growing, is more in diversity of our bottling. So not making more of everything, but just making more individual wines. So super fun.
And how's your family?
They're okay. They miss me. I'll be back on Thursday and then back in Vancouver the following day for some leisure rather than work. So.
Okay. Thank you for this.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Wonderful winemaker, Shane Munn from Martin's Lane. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Jason Parks Customs, the home of The Hatch, Crown and Thieves. Speaking of Crown and Thieves, Crown and Thieves 2021 Winemaker's Wench on the nose, apricots, oranges, and honey, followed by a taste of ripe peach and melon. 2021 Winemaker's Wench. I just got this note from the Artful Dodger, Devlin Barker, at The Hatch. We're doing a countdown in May to release 4 new wines at The Hatch each Friday. And a reminder that The Hatching Post Saloon and Smokery is now open. All the details at jasonparkscustoms.com and crownandthieves.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Naramata Bench. They have opened and they're ready for 2022. The Bistro is opened for lunch after a 2-year hiatus with a set price 2-course lunch, dinner 5 to 9, and most importantly, they also have takeout options. Both the Wine Shop Tasting Room and Bistro are open Wednesday to Sunday and reservations only. They do offer wine sales Monday and Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And the wine club is going strong with the spring shipment going out mid-May. All the details at hillsidewinery.ca.
Just last week, as a matter of fact, as we speak, Curtis Colt is guesting on Tasting Room Radio. And here he is a week later with the actual event. Can you tell from the, I mean, I'm just going to say this now. Can you tell from the buzz that the trade loves this?
Yes, I think, you know, I was saying to somebody, it just feels like Top Drop. It's a buzzy room. Everyone's really excited to be here. There's some excellent wine being flowed, and it just feels so good to be back.
What about the evening session? What do you think?
Yeah, it's looking nice and packed as well. Obviously, you know, there's a big demand and desire to get back to things and to enjoy a fun, breezy room with lots of quality wine.
I was talking to Aaron about Top Drop Calgary years past, and then I started to think about Top Drop Victoria. This is a very popular event.
Yeah, we're looking to expand again to Calgary and Victoria and everything. You know, this was kind of uncharted waters getting ready for this show. You know, it takes about 6 months of advanced prep. And I was just, you know, really happy we started here, and then, you know, we'll grow as things progress.
What was your toughest safety concern?
Oh, not selling, you know, more tickets that we could have sold.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Did you get to taste anything?
I haven't yet, but I will have a chance, I'm sure, over the next four sessions, scoping the room. And, you know, there's always an after party, too. It's always fun tasting.
Thank you. Congratulations.
All right. Thanks.
Curtis Colt is guesting on Tasting Room Radio. And here he is a week later with the actual event.
This is Tasting Room Radio.
I see Owen Knowlton over there. I'm going to have a talk to him. Owen Knowlton, who some people would know from West, some people would know from Chin Chin. And now, Stablehouse Bistro, and he's won every award that you can possibly lay in front of him. And I see that you have a table of Bordeaux wines, beautiful Bordeaux wines. But the last time we talked, it was all about Italian wines.
Yeah, I mean, I love Italian wine. It's probably where it started. But I have my own consulting company now called Tandem Management. So I get hired by different clients, and they reached out. And I love Bordeaux. I think it's becoming one of the great values of 2022 in terms of wine quality and price, and it's just great. So I get to try different styles. The theme today was Bordeaux you don't know, so we're trying to focus on, you know, a little bit biodynamics, Cremant, you know, white Bordeaux, things people don't have as much as, you know, the kind of classic first growth, that kind of stuff.
How much of this market do they have?
I mean, in terms of, if you think of BCL presence, a lot. I think in a place like this, Top Drop, which is maybe geared towards younger, the more left of the dial type of people, it's sort of a chance to reach out to people who maybe sometimes might want to. Bordeaux's not their first choice.
Give me three on the table that caught your attention.
The Cremant is beautiful. It's 100% Cab Franc, made in the Sanier method. It's a little bit deeper in color. Really, really lovely. The Clos de la Madeleine is 100% biodynamic Sauvignon Blanc. Really an interesting texture, almost Vouvray-like. I've never really had that before. And we do have a lovely Bellevue. 2014. They're an interesting producer because they actually make 100% Petit Verdot, which is one of the Bordeaux grapes, but you don't often see it there because it's quite hard to ripen. So they're sort of a Petit Verdot specialist, and that bottle we have there has almost a quarter of Petit Verdot, so it's a rare find. And
I love that. Love that. Yeah. What's the delightful almost rosé bottle in the middle?
Yeah, that's the Cremant. That's okay. The Cab Franc.
Oh,
Cab Franc rosé.
Not only is it good in the bottle, it's great outside. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a lovely bottle. Like, the Bordeaux know how to package things, yeah.
Now, how about the Italians here? Do you have some friends?
I know most of the people here, yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to think of Italian wineries. Pascoparo is from Etna, is here. Really, really lovely Etna wines. I mean, Marchese Barolo, beautiful, beautiful wines. Barolo, if I had to have one wine before I died, it would be Barolo. Bruno Grimaldi, another excellent younger Barolo producer. Great, 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 great people. And then Bissol, yeah, I mean, Prosecco, especially Prosecco DOCG, is one of the great underpriced, super qualitative sparkling wines. You know, a lot of people want champagne for really special occasions, but Prosecco DOCG, especially a producer like Bissol, is a great option. It's going to be, you know, a fraction of the price.
See how I took you back to Italian wines just like that?
I was just in Italy. I was in Italy 2 weeks ago, so it's still a part of me.
Attaboy. Thank you for this. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It's always good to see you.
Owen Knowlton. Stablehouse Bistro, and he's won every award that you can possibly lay in front of him.
Welcome to Tasting Room Radio, celebrating all the great things we love about food and wine.
I have gotten to the H's in this room, Hedges Family Estate, Red Mountain, Washington. Christoph Hedges is standing directly in front of me. No, wait a minute. Hello.
I'm not Christoph Hedges, but I'm an H. I'm Lisa Haley.
Nice.
Hi, Derek.
What are you drinking?
I am drinking the Hedges Family Estate Red Mountain 2017.
Is that the stained label?
Pardon me?
Is that the stained label in the
It is the stained label, yeah. What happened to it?
The label...
Who was doing the pouring, basically?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's one of the things I need to work with our agency is pouring practice. So the label's a bit soiled, but I'll tell you that that is a mark of history there. It's showing exactly what it should be. It's being used and drunk.
Yes. And appreciated.
Yes, that's correct.
How were your 2 years in Washington, Red Mountain?
We've been there for, your question was how many years?
Well, everybody's gone through the last 2 years of lockdown.
Oh, the last 2 years? That's a tricky question because I don't remember.
Where did you go?
I stayed on the mountain. I remember that. And then I woke up and it was 2022. And now I'm in Canada.
Do we seem unusually happy or polite?
I feel good. Yeah, it's nice to see other humans. That's for sure.
Have you hugged anyone?
What's that?
Have you hugged anyone?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did you want to pour for us? What did you want to showcase?
I think today let's showcase a lovely little white wine from Red Mountain because it doesn't get a lot of play. It's a very rare wine. We make only 400 cases. And Red Mountain is mostly red varietals, but we have the white to show, and it's pretty interesting. It's a Marsan Viognier blend.
Oh, man.
Would you like to try some?
I would love to inhale it, yes. But in the meantime, I'll keep talking. The first stained red there.
The one in the center?
Yeah.
That is the older brother of the white wine. That is a Syrah from the same vineyard, higher up in elevation on Red Mountain.
Also rare?
Pretty rare, yeah. I mean, with these guys, they like to bring in some of the higher, more micro terroir wines. So the case productions go down quite a bit.
And then the next one in line?
The Estate Red is our flagship because it represents all five of the vineyards we have on Red Mountain. So a great wine and available here in British Columbia.
Does it even come close to being a field blend?
Being a what?
Field blend.
No. We actually put the lots together after because each varietal that goes into the wine has a different maturation date.
And was that one there? What's it D4? That's four. You pour, what have you got on ice?
What's that?
What's on ice?
Oh, that is the LeBlanc there, yes. The Red Mountain.
Have you had a chance to taste the room, some of the BC wines?
I'm going to, yeah. I think I'll take my agent and we will peruse the facility and see what's going on. There's a lot of great wines here.
I mean, are you familiar with some of the winemakers up here?
Yes, I am. But it's sometimes hard to say hi to them because every time we meet, we're in a setting where we're drinking a lot of wine.
And there's people with microphones.
That's correct, yes. And it's Canada, so I got to follow the rules.
Any problems at the border?
No.
No strip searches, nothing?
The only problem I had was I forgot to download the app called AirCan.
Oh, yeah.
But now I have it and I feel proper.
Welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I have gotten to the H's in this room. Christoph Hedges, Hedges Family Estate, Red Mountain, Washington.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Naramata Bench. They have opened and they're ready for 2022. The Bistro is opened for lunch after a 2-year hiatus with a set price 2-course lunch, dinner 5 to 9, and most importantly, they also have takeout options. Both the Wine Shop Tasting Room and Bistro are open Wednesday to Sunday and reservations only. They do offer wine sales Monday and Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And the wine club is going strong with the spring shipment going out mid-May. All the details at hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Unsworth Vineyards is pleased to be part of this year's Cowichan Wine Festival passport-style tasting event held this year in the month of June. In addition, they will be part of an evening tasting party at Brentwood School August 4th, where you can taste all of the participating wineries in one go under a summer starlit night by the ocean. Details at unsworthvineyards.com.
Nadine Allender, the winemaker at Terra Vista on the Naramata Bench. I'm going to walk up to Terra Vista Vineyards. They're poor. How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. How many of these pours have you done in your wine time?
Oh, not that many. mainly just hide out in the cellar. And then with COVID happening, it's been a couple of years since I've done one. So probably half a dozen, a dozen.
That's very something that I believe in, is that you spend your time in solitary in a cellar.
Yeah.
And then when you come out, you're in a room surrounded by 200 people you might have never met before.
yeah, exactly.
I'm watching certain wineries. I'm thinking of Bill Eggert at Fairview Cellars, who sold his winery and is now handed off. He's going to school the people who are coming in, Danielle and her husband. The handoff from Saint Tenet, these are her vines. She loved these vines.
Yes.
And that property. How did that go?
That was amazing. So her and Bob mentored me. So they sold in 2019, and I came in around June of 2019. And so Bob showed me around the vineyard and what he does in the vineyard. And then Senka mentored me through the picking decisions and what she did in the cellar. She gave me free rein to change anything that I wanted. However, I've always loved the way she made those wines. And I've tried to stay very true to her, the way that she made these wines.
Was that something she wanted to know, that they weren't going to be pulled out?
Yeah. It was important that that we all have followed the same philosophy.
How different is it from what the wines being made, or that you were making at Foxtrot?
Well, quite different from Foxtrot. Foxtrot was just Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. I learned a lot, actually, working for Thyme, making a Riesling under Lawrence Bueller out of Ontario. And that's where I started making a lot of like those very clean, fresh, fruit-driven, high-acid wines. Yeah.
Exactly. What did you bring to pour?
Pardon me?
What did you bring to pour?
I brought 2021 Albarino, 2021 Fandango, 20 Viognier, and 20 Figaro, which is our Marzan Ruzan Viognier blend.
Okay, do you want to actually take them through one more time? Because tell them what the Figaro is.
The Figaro is our Rhone blend. So it's a blend of Marzan Ruzan Viognier. The Marzan and the Ruzan are barrel fermented and barrel aged. The Viognier I do in stainless. It's kind of like our winter white with a bit heavier texture and body on it.
How about this one?
Viognier. So I love Viognier. I like to source it from a couple different areas in the valley. I love to get some northern fruit, Naramata, as well as some southern fruit from Oliver Osoyoos. I think it gives a good balance and complexity to the wines.
And this first one?
2021 Albarino. So we grow Albarino and Verdeo on site. We used to get a little bit of Albarino from Oliver. Unfortunately, that vineyard's now been ripped out. So now it's all 100% Naramata fruit. The Albarino is, like nice high acidity, very crisp and dry and very floral. I've really enjoyed working with that variety.
Do these varietals keep you on your toes?
They're actually quite easy to work with. So far, I've always ripened within the time frame. Sometimes it's like the day before the snows. but I mean, yeah, Verdeo is a bit vigorous in the vineyard. So we're still kind of trying to figure that one out in the vineyard just to manage the canopy on that one.
Can I come back and have a taste?
Yes, absolutely. Please do.
Thank you. Nadine Allender, the winemaker at Terra Vista on the Naramata Bench. It's Top Drop 2022 at Roundhouse in Vancouver, Yaletown specifically. We talked to Bella, Creaking Gully, Fitz, OCP, Hedges, Lightning Rock, Martin's Lane, Orofino, and Terra Vista. Where's Ursa? Rajan. How are you?
Good. How about yourself?
Very well. Please tell the audience your name and what you're pouring.
So I am Rajan Tour, the proprietor, owner, and grower for Ursa Major Winery in Oliver. And I am pouring my 2021 portfolio today, everything that's being released a little bit later this week.
So this is a tease.
So this is a little bit of a teaser. So I'm pouring four wines. I'm pouring a direct pressed Cab Franc, a 50-50 co-ferment of Sauvignon Blanc and Muscat, a direct pressed Cabernet Sauvignon, and a Gamay. So everything is grown on the Black Sage Bench except for the Sauv Blanc Muscat, which is grown on the Golden Mile. We are in year four of our organic transition for all the vineyards.
Yeah.
So we're farming organically, but we're not certified quite yet. I'm still just doing some trial and error into each different plot to see what's working, what we need to reconfigure.
You're still learning.
Exactly. And plus, over the last 3 years, we haven't really had the most consistent vintages.
Yeah.
So every year, while I'm learning, the learning curve is just going through the roof, because every year is something completely different.
Did you bring any of the reds? You have this one here.
Yeah, so I brought Gamay for red, and then the rest of the reds I'm bottling later on in the summer.
Have you told Jay Drysdale at Bella that you're using his Gamay?
He's like, I call him every day for advice, that's for sure. Yeah. But I did just sign a lease on a new vineyard up in Naramata, actually right next to one of his Gamay vineyards. So I'm growing Gamay up there, which will be interesting to see how Gamay up on Arowana Road up on Naramata Mountain fares in rocky soils opposed to 100% sand on the Black Sage Bench.
Oh, you're digging deep. That's what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
You
want to
know. When I first met you, I thought it was going to be all big Bordeaux reds, banging reds.
You know,
but you split.
That's where it all started off from, because I was learning. I was under the tutelage of Anthony Buchanan. So I was his assistant at Desert Hills.
Of course, lucky you.
For about 4 years. And I took over from him as the head winemaker there at the beginning of last year. And I realized, why am I making the same portfolio for both wines? So I can experiment with the bold, structured, elegant French style for Desert Hills, and then it gives me an opportunity to do a bit of experimentation with the Bordeaux varietals for my own portfolio.
Are you guys open now? No, you're open for business. Got a tasting room going?
Yes. Yeah, we opened up last month.
Okay.
Yep.
This is fantastic. Any surprises underneath the table?
No, I made sure that everyone gets all the surprises today. Sharing the love.
Thank you.
I mean, I haven't had a chance to talk to consumers like this in a long time, so I'm just excited, really.
Good luck at Ursa Major. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
We're at Top Drop 2022, which is a great celebration. It's a trade event. It's calm. It's measured. People are being kind and gentle. I had to find Jordan Kubek, because this is the closest I've been to her in quite some time. She is, of course, the principal and winemaker at Lightning Rock. I was over talking to the Creek and Gully girls.
Yes.
And they were using your pressings.
Yes. Yes. We've been doing a lot of collaborations with different cideries and breweries. It's amazing. We give them the skins for the Syrah, and they made a beautiful cider on top of it. And I just love the balance and the creativity from this valley right now. Like, there's some amazing things. We also did a beer project with Neighborhood, where we added some Pinot skins, and they did a lambic style. So like 2 years of making the beer.
Where's the food program?
No, I'm not qualified to do a food program.
I just thought maybe a food truck. That's right. Now, what did you decide to showcase for Top Drop?
So for Top Drop, I brought two examples from two of our vineyards. So we have two beautiful vineyards in Summerland. They both produce Pinot. They're about the same age, but they're very different. So Alicia Vineyard is a granite boulder. It's really cool. And Canyon View is directly south-facing terraces with sandy loam soil. So I do single vineyard, Blanc de Noir, and Pinot from both, and then compare them. And it's really cool to see the small differences in terroir.
Do you not just take it a step further and blend them at some point?
I sometimes blend them, but just for fun.
And how's the blend?
The blend is great, of course.
All right. As a consumer.
I know. I mostly started this winery because we were really passionate about growing Pinot and showcasing terroir and micro climates, so it's a bit of a nerdy expression. Anyways.
So you have a six, seven, eight bottles in there. So what? Tell me about this one.
Oh, so this is a pamplemousse juice. So this is a little side project I started with my friend James Langford Smith. It's fruit from our friend's vineyard. They farm it in Dale Meadows in Summerland, and the vineyard's been organic for about 30 years. And we made Petnats and Piquettes, and this is definitely us like letting our hair down and just having fun and playing. There's a really cool hybrid grown there called Leon Milot. That's it's a really cool grape, and so it's been really fun to just play. And we called it Pamplemousse juice because it's made from grape fruits. Yeah, it's pretty. We're just trying to do something fun, you know, and light. And
will we, the Great Unwashed, be able to buy this?
Yes, absolutely. You can do it online, pamplemoussejuice.ca, or we also, and on our website, we also have a list of fabulous restaurants and liquor stores where it's available here in Vancouver.
Vancouver Island?
Also Vancouver Island, yeah.
Uh-huh. What's the white?
The white one is a Gewurztraminer Petnat. And what's really cool about this one is that it has a little bit of skin contact and also some wild plums inside. So it's, I mean, there's a lot of Gewurztraminer that grows in the Okanagan Valley, and I find a sparkling expression to be really juicy and fruity and delicious. Okay. Yeah.
These guys out front, like soldiers, are they different?
So these are our Lightning Rock wines. So I have the two Blanc de Noirs that I'm pouring, so you can taste the difference between the vineyards, as well as the two Pinot Noirs. They're from the 2020 vintage, which was an amazing vintage in Summerland. Our September was like warm, around 20 degrees with 5-degree nights, so we had a diurnal shift. It's really good.
How did you know with the heat dome?
So grapes, as it turns out, are pretty resilient at really high temperatures, but we did spray seaweed on our canopy, which didn't really protect them, but it just made them like really efficient. It was like giving them vitamins. But yeah, we were okay. I mean, I would not like that to be an annual thing or something that gets worse and worse, but I feel like it would be.
It also could be good fertilizer at some point.
Right.
The seaweed. Anything under the table? Any surprises?
Under the table,
beer.
Have some beer, that's right. For the seawall between trade and consumer.
Are you guys open? Are people coming?
Yeah, we are open every day, 11 to 4, from Easter to Thanksgiving.
Jordan Kubel, Lightning Rock Winery. She and her partner and her team will welcome you with open arms to try these wines.
Thank you so much for having me, Terry.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Unsworth Vineyards is pleased to be part of this year's Cowichan Wine Festival passport-style tasting event held this year in the month of June. In addition, they will be part of an evening tasting party at Brentwood School August 4th, where you can taste all of the participating wineries in one go under a summer starlit night by the ocean. Details at unsworthvineyards.com. And we proudly let you know that this edition of Tasting Room Radio is presented by Harbor Air, a quintessential West Coast experience, safe, fast, and fun connections throughout coastal BC. Harbor Air, a virtual translink to the coast. You can find them at harborair.com.